Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Please take a look at all the announcements that are in the back of your bulletin. We are at a busy time of the year. There's a lot of events going on, a lot of things happening, so please be sure to read those announcements. I think we have some others. I don't know. Lori?
Good morning and happy Thanksgiving. I'd like to invite everybody. The youth is going to have caroling again this year on December 21st at 4 o'clock. We have confirmation that Sunday, so after confirmation, we can go caroling. So I need y'all to sign up. We have sign-up sheets at the back on both sides and in the basement so we know how many trailers to get. Also, I'd like to congratulate the youth for their wonderful service that they did at the nursing home this past weekend. They did a great job. We played bingo and had a lot of fun with the residents. They had a great time. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Lori. Aaron, do you have an announcement?
Good morning. Our children's Christmas program will be December 14th, and we still have sign-up going on. So if you have a child or a youth that wants to be involved in that, we have sign-up here in the sanctuary, down in the basement, and over in the educational building, or just get with me, and we'll make sure to have everybody involved and look forward to it. Thank you. Right. Our first practice is next Sunday, during November 30th, during the Sunday school hour. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Aaron.
This is just a reminder that these Advent calendars for the collection of non-perishable food items for YAM are in the back of the church, the annex, and there are some down in the basement for the children. The baskets will be ready for collection next Sunday back here in the narthex, the annex, the basement, and the educational building. Thank you.
Okay, and I think Boyd had an announcement here, too.
Good morning. I was just here to let the congregation know that our nominating committee has found people willing to serve for all positions except one. We need somebody really desperately to step up and say, hey, I'm willing to be president. We need somebody to take over the president spot because my term will expire and I'll be out, and we're looking for somebody who's willing to become president for the next term or possibly next two terms, hopefully. So if you find it in your heart to want to become president of our church council, please let somebody on the nominating committee know and suggest your name and or call the church office. But please, we need somebody. Thanks.
All right, thank you, Boyd. Okay, anybody else with announcements? If not, then I invite you to rise as we begin with a brief order for confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing the hymn, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, and we will sing verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
The Lord have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have crowned your Son as King, and by him will renew your whole creation. May the families of the earth, now torn apart and yoked by sin, find liberty in him and be subjected to his gentle rule. Grant this, we pray, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
The first reading is a reading from Malachi chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord, but you say, how have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge or walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. The word of the Lord. The psalm is Psalm 95, verses 1 through 7. We will read it responsibly. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. The second reading is a reading from Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 20. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter. There followed Jesus a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is Christ the King Sunday. It is the last Sunday of our church calendar year. We begin a new year next week with the first Sunday of Advent. We start the cycle over once again. And so we end our Christian church year with Christ the King Sunday. We remember many of the things that passed, that happened throughout the events, the life of Jesus, and it comes down to this, that Jesus is truly the King of kings, the King of the universe, King of all creation. And it brings us this morning then in the lectionary to this story of the crucifixion. And when we think of a king, we think of someone who is powerful. We think of someone who is the absolute ruler. Whatever a king says, that becomes law. Whatever the king says, everyone has to follow. Somebody who holds all the power, that there is no power above the king. He is the highest in the land. And so a king then is the one who makes sure the land is or the country, the territory is taken care of, but at the same time, the king basically owns everything. And the king we think of as being a strong person, somebody who can command his might, who can command obedience from everyone. We think of a king that way. I know Nikita Khrushchev, who was the Soviet leader back in the 1950s and then early 60s, once said, if somebody struck me on the cheek, I would turn and strike him so hard it would make his head bobble. That's the difference between me and Jesus Christ. We think of a king in that way, of somebody who will take control, who will be in charge, who will do everything in his power to keep everybody else in subjugation. And then we come to this story here that says Christ is the king. He had the inscription over his cross, King of the Jews. But it's a completely different kind of king. If we look at Jesus here in this story, he looks awfully weak. He doesn't look like the strong man. He doesn't look like the man who commands respect, a person who could command everybody to do what he wants. Rather, it looks like he is the lowest of low in this story. He is on his way to be crucified. The story opens with Jesus on the road carrying his cross. I know in another gospel lesson it says that he was so weak and tired that he could not even carry his own cross, that a bystander had to come and pick it up for him and take it. He has no control, it looks like. The soldiers lead him to the place of his execution. They hammer the nails in his hands, his feet. They tie him to the cross and they raise the cross up, leaving him there to die. It looks as if Jesus is completely powerless. So what kind of king is this? How can this be a king, a person who has absolutely no power? We look at this story and we see a king who is different. We see a king who is willing to serve. Jesus did have a choice. Jesus had a choice all along of whether or not he was going to go to Jerusalem, whether or not he would have himself arrested, whether or not he'd be put on trial, whether or not he'd defend himself, whether or not he would be executed and go to his grave. He did have that choice, but he chose instead to do his Father's will. His Father's will was for him to come to this earth and save humanity. We think of a king as being strong and being mighty. And Christ certainly is, but he is strong and mighty in a way that would surprise us. Here in this story, Jesus is hung up on the cross, and he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So who is Jesus talking about here? Is he talking about Pilate, the one who actually was the supreme leader in this territory? Now, Pilate was the voice of Caesar. Caesar was the king. And Pilate was simply carrying out the mission that Caesar had given him in the name of Caesar. Pilate was the one who had to condemn Jesus. Pilate was the one who did condemn Jesus. So is Jesus saying, "Father, forgive him"? Or was Jesus saying, "Father, forgive them" to the soldiers? The soldiers were also an arm of Rome. They were the military might. They are the ones who had marched into battle and had conquered much territory for Rome. They were battle-hardened soldiers. They were tough. They were mean. They had seen bloodshed. They had seen violence. And they are the ones who drove the nails through Jesus' hands and his feet and hung Jesus up to die and were standing guard, making sure that nobody would rescue Jesus. So is Jesus saying, "Father, forgive them"? Or maybe Jesus is saying, "Father, forgive them" for the religious leaders. They're the ones who put this whole plot in motion of having Jesus arrested, of trying to trap him, of putting him on trial, of compelling Pilate to pronounce the sentence of crucifixion. They were the ones who were behind this whole plot of having Jesus executed. So is Jesus saying, "Father, forgive him, forgive them"? Or maybe it's the crowd. You know, only less than a week earlier than this story takes place, the crowd was shouting, "Hosanna, blessed be he who comes in the name of the Lord," on what we know of as Palm Sunday, when Jesus comes riding in on the donkey into Jerusalem. And how quickly things changed. The crowd was stirred up just a few days later to holler, "Crucify, crucify him." And so was Jesus saying to them, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Or maybe it's even those bystanders who were there who were upset because Jesus was being crucified. His disciples, and then also too those other folks that were around him, particularly the women, and anybody else who had been touched by the healing miracles of Jesus or had been stirred by his words that he had spoken or preached or teached. Who is Jesus saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do"? And I would say all of them. All of them. And not only them, but also to us. We are in that same place. And you may see yourself at different places within this story. Are you one of those who are grieving the death of Christ? The disciples, when they were grieving, the women, when they were grieving, did not understand what was going on. They had invested so much time into following Jesus. They had invested so much energy in trying to follow and listen and learn from him. And here he was being killed. They thought their life was over. They thought the whole movement was over. They did not understand what they were doing. So we find ourselves in different spots of where this is. But the fact remains is that we do need forgiveness. We do need to hear Jesus when he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Martin Luther was once quoted as saying, "If I were God, I would have kicked this world to pieces long ago." You know, it's very similar to what that quote was by Khrushchev. You know, that if somebody strikes me on the cheek, I would turn and hit them so hard their head would bobble. Here God says, or Jesus says, "Father, forgive them." There's no forgiveness in the statement of Martin Luther. There's no forgiveness in that statement of Khrushchev. Luther comes at it from a different perspective, though. Luther knows that he is a sinner. Luther knows that he does not have that same control that Jesus does. That willingness, that quick willingness to, even as Jesus was dying on the cross, to say, "Forgive them." Martin Luther knew he couldn't do that because he was human. He was a sinner. And he knew, though, then, that he needed a Savior. He needed Jesus Christ. He needed a King who would be willing to rule with mercy, with love, with forgiveness, and with graciousness. That is our King, the one willing to go to the cross for us, the King who has so much compassion for all those that he rules, that he is willing to take the punishment himself. He has our best interest at heart. Remember John 3:16 and 17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that all those who believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world, but in order that the world may be saved through him. That was Jesus' purpose, to come into this world to save us. It was a tough road, and Jesus did exactly that. This is only part of the story that we read today, because you know what comes after. Jesus overcame death. He rises from the dead. Jesus conquers death. Here he looks so weak, but this is actually his strongest point, because he is willing to give himself up. He is willing to do that for other people. And that takes a very strong person to say, "I will care for you," rather than caring for myself. And also to say, "Forgive them." As followers of Jesus Christ, it is a tough thing to do, because when somebody does something wrong to us, we want to retaliate. We want to make their heads bobble. We want to kick them to pieces. That's our natural instinct. We want to destroy them. It takes a lot more strength to say, "You are forgiven." It takes a lot more strength to show mercy. But there is joy in it. Here was the joy of God. His Son of God the Father, his Son came to this earth and did exactly as had been planned. He saved the world. He gave himself up. There was great joy that people are returned back to God's mercy, back to God's family. There is great joy in that. There's great joy when we forgive other people and when we show mercy. There is great joy in knowing I no longer have to keep a grudge. I no longer have to keep score. I'm not going to expect myself to get even. I don't have to worry about that anymore. A whole burden is taken off my shoulders. I don't have to do that.
And there is joy and there is freedom in being able simply to let it go. Christ emptied himself for us. He took our punishment upon himself and he died. And he freed us. He made us whole. He made us worthy to be children of God. Christ is the King. Christ is the King of creation. He's the King of the world. He's the King of kings. Christ has that power. And that power is that love, that mercy, that forgiveness, and that grace. And he bestows it upon us. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns, verses 1 through 4.
Please rise for the confession of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. For your faithful flock throughout the world, that in worship and service we may glorify your name and proclaim your reign, Lord, in your mercy. For all things in heaven and earth, that the works of your hand always listen to your voice and testify to your greatness, Lord, in your mercy. For the leaders of the nations, that they deal wisely and execute justice and righteousness, so all people may live in safety, Lord, in your mercy. For patience and endurance in suffering, and your tender compassion to all who call upon you in time of need. We pray especially for Lynn Magura, Elaine Molina, Rosa Harton, Joe Barnes, Janet Lemke, Clinton Kaiser, Ronald and Margie Wilhelmson, Carlton Bolting, Stephen and Olivia Morris, Carol Semper, Bridget Innocenti, James Canipa, Bobby Poliski, and the family of Shirley Mary. Lord, in your mercy. For gathering this assembly together again in your name and for our witness to your kingdom through loving care for one another, Lord, in your mercy. For welcoming sinners into your kingdom and in thanksgiving for all the saints who dwell with you in paradise, Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. We continue with the offering. Let us pray. Wise and gracious God, receive the labor of our hands, these gifts of money, bread, and wine, along with the offering of our lives. Nourish us with the life of your Son, that we might be his body in the world, making known your abundant mercy in Jesus Christ.
The Lord be with you. lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God. Through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
hallowed be thy name, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come, for all is ready. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger. All who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. praise to the Lord. Go in peace, serve the Lord. As we go in peace, we share that peace with each other. The peace of the Lord be with you.